In this episode of the Texas Private School Podcast, Lutheran South versus the Woodlands Christian Academy in a District 4 power struggle. Fort Worth goes to war in North Richland Hills. Kincaid and St. John's, two teams face off for a single remaining title spot. And can Green Hill shock the world? All this and more in the Week 10 preview of the Texas Private School Podcast. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Texas Private School Podcast. As always, I'm one third of your hosting crew, Wes Tollison, joining you from Dallas, Texas. Walker Lott phones in from College Station, Texas. Ryan Schroeder from north of the Red River in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Gentlemen, it has been a fantastic season up to this point, and now we are seeing some games that matter for all the money, more or less. Two specifically, as the SBC always seems to participate in the fun a little bit sooner than TAPS does, but we will get into those games shortly. First of all, Walker Lott, a lot of things going on around the space. Number one, how are you doing? Number two, fun week ahead.
No, this is good. We just posted our last week 9 recap, which is a 2 out of 10, guys, on YouTube, which is great to hear. I know. Awesome. Shout out to all the viewers that listened really quickly. I got a haircut, so finally no hat on an episode. You know, see the fade, everything. It's going good. Life's good. And yeah, we have some monumental matchups this week for district seeding, playoff seeding, and also state championship appearances for a lot of big time schools. So what more do you want in a week?
Absolutely. And a fun game for the viewers at home that watched the whole episode. I was a little busier this week. So I scripted 2 of the previews and Walker scripted 3 of them. So if you want to play a fun game, try and guess which ones are my words and which ones are Walker's. These are written so well, I don't know if you'll be able to tell, but
very fun kind of
little
you.
Game. Oh, dude, it's better than I could have done in certain spots. Ryan Schroeder from Oklahoma City, home of the Thunder, amongst other things. How are you doing? Thoughts on the slate?
Well, I just was going to say, the slate looks incredible, but I had a little surprise for y'all. In honor of week 10, you know, obviously we're coming down to the 10th week of the 10th month. And of course, on Twitter today, or X, we hit 10K. Well, happy 10K. Obviously, that's our main platform over the past 4 years or so, 5 years. That's really kind of been really where we started and stuff was on X. And we've literally seen it change names over time, which is crazier. But yeah, 10,000. We're so happy. You know, it's definitely one of those things where it's a little surreal for sure. We've obviously, you know, we know how much support we've had over the years and stuff, and a number is just a number, but for it to all to culminate in week 10 with 10,000, thought that was kind of cool. So there you go. Right in front of me the whole video.
That's awesome. I didn't know that. That's actually a great surprise. Thank you, Ryan.
There we go.
That is incredible. I didn't expect that at all. I mean, yeah, it's just a number, but it's a huge deal. I mean, it's 5 digits. I mean, if you think about, you know, 10,000 people in a single room, that's a fire hazard. I mean, that's a lot of people, dude. That's awesome. Just to echo what y'all have said, we can't thank the people enough. We're incredibly grateful to do this, and I think we would continue to do this if a third of those people listened to us, maybe a tenth. Super great for all the support. Like I tell everyone when we cover games, we wouldn't do this if nobody listened, and clearly people do. And we're super appreciative for it. So, Ryan Schroeder, thank you for that surprise.
Of course.
And yeah, let's get into some games to recap. But first, as we do every once in a while, I'm going to make Walker and Ryan guess something music related. This is going to be a little different. So this song that I'm going to play is a sample of a well-known song that both of y'all will know. But I want to see if y'all can guess from the music of the song what song is sampled. So you're going to hear the original track and you're going to guess what the very, very popular song is that samples it.
Oh, everyone clear? Okay. Yeah, I get it now. Okay, let's do it.
We'll see. We'll let it ride. I'm going to let it play through a little bit. It might take a while. If it takes a while, I'll get to the point that it makes it pretty obvious. But without further ado, this song is called My Song by Labby Siffre.
This is my song.
Okay, I have a guess.
What is it?
Is it I Wonder by Kanye West?
Yes, it is.
Oh my gosh. That
There
was really good.
it
It sounds like
is.
the
And
guy,
I
I
wonder
Wonder.
yeah. And
if you
he says that
know.
obviously verbatim in about 30 seconds. So I want to see if you could get that off rip. But
Oh,
yeah,
it's
it's good. 35 seconds.
Yeah.
And I Wonder.
No.
Yeah.
So
30.
it's funny, and this is the last thing I'll say before we actually get into it. But I've got a gigantic playlist of it's called Chopped. It's pretty much all the songs I hear, and I realize it's a Kanye sample. I just have the song in the Kanye sample. It's like 45 like songs.
That's good.
So I was listening through a random playlist, and I heard that. I heard the first piano riff. I'm like, oh my God, that's I Wonder. But yeah,
Yeah.
I just thought about that. That was also on my story today.
I
So.
need that I need that playlist. Send it my way.
I'll
And
send it your way at some point during this episode. But that being said, that
also
is enough.
very quickly, because I wanted to talk about the 10K giveaway. Should we do like a giveaway or something? I don't know. Like, would people like that? I don't know what we should do for 10K. Should we celebrate somehow? Like, I know I'm putting it on the spot, but like, what should we do?
I think it's worthy of if we've got a merch item laying around, we could, you know.
I have a hat or so.
Yeah, we
Yeah,
can
come on,
find a way
Phil.
to like shuffle our Twitter
Well,
followers and be like, hey, you win.
little care package. Yeah, we can do
Care
something like that.
package.
Yeah,
I
we
don't
can do
know.
something like that.
So,
That'd be fun.
yeah, look on our IG story this week. Maybe we'll do that. I don't know. We'll see. Also, happy Halloween. I think this comes out on Halloween. So,
Yeah,
happy Halloween,
there you go.
everyone. That's
Yeah, that being said,
it.
we definitely didn't forget the Halloween costumes. You will see that on the recap episode where we will be celebrating that. I'm dressed up as a Dallas Christian Charger this episode. I'm just gonna
I'm the master of all four elements, the avatar, I guess.
Ryan Schroeder's a podcaster.
And I am Ryan Schroeder, which
Hey,
gives you no head.
what better costume do you want than Ryan
Ryan
Schroeder,
Schroeder's
honestly?
dressed up as a man that's gonna blow a pick record lead.
Absolutely.
Oh,
Hear, hear.
All right, we will get into the pick records next episode. But as for now, let us start with our five games of the week, beginning down in the Woodlands, Lutheran South at TWCA. The Woodlands Christian Academy is a 2.5 point favorite. Lutheran South will travel up to the Woodlands on Friday in an all-important battle for playoff seeding after coming into the season with significant hype and impressing early. LSA has fallen off a bit of a cliff, facing domination at the hands of St. John's, Second Baptist, and a narrow loss to Fort Bend Christian last week. This should be sounding alarm bells in Lutheran South. And that was with their top receiver slash athlete, Braden Robinson, back as well, which does not bode well for the Pioneers. Flipping sides to TWCA, I'm still super high on the Santiago Fernandez to Bo Ellis connection, which is over 60% of the Warriors' passing attack. Adding in Grayson Boger, Prince Holiday, and Braden Hinty, they're all dogs as well. And I quite frankly don't think this game's close. I'm going to take TWCA by 3 scores here. I'm going to go bold. You know, me going bold in the past has come back to bite me, but I really like TWCA mostly because of Fernandez to Bo Ellis. I think that quarterback to wide receiver connection is as good as it gets in Division II. It's up there with Cannon Toon to Alan Thomas, et cetera. I'm really high on the Warriors. Give me TWCA Walker.
Yeah, I'm gonna add to this. I don't wanna say TWCA, and I'll add to your reasoning. You talked about Braden Robinson coming back last week. I don't think he is coming back this week too. If you watch the Minute with the Intern segment, our guy on the field last week, Bradley Hanna, said he had a great game against Fort Bend Christian, but went down with injury. So if that's another injury and he's out for another week, it doesn't look well for Lutheran South. Gonna be interesting to watch there. You talked about the passing attack, which I believe is great. I want to talk a little bit more about Prince Holiday, the defensive lineman they added in this year. He was a major addition and a major piece of that Second Baptist close game. And I think he's having a pretty sneaky one of the best defensive lineman seasons in TAPS D2 this year. He has been great so far this season. And I think him and Grayson Boker on defense is really going to set the tone for this TWCA team. I am trying to figure out my final game for Friday, and this might be one of it. So I might be on the sidelines for this one. Stay tuned.
There we go, Ryan Schroeder.
Yeah, I mean, I was really high on Lutheran South. I thought they had a lot of pretty good wins throughout, just like convincing wins, I'd say. Probably not good wins, but convincing wins earlier in the year. Obviously, the Houston Christian one is the one that stood off immediately. Hyde Park was convincing. John Cooper, like those three wins where I was like, wow, 35 points on St. John's. I was really thinking this Lutheran South team was something else. Obviously, they get smacked by Second Baptist, and then last week the loss to Fort Bend barely doesn't bode well for how well they look. On the flip side, Wilderness Christian quite literally looks like one of the top four teams in Division Two. And with that being said, this is a game I was looking forward to back when I thought that Lutheran South was better than Wilderness Christian, and we had the argument between the three of us. It was me against both of y'all, and I can now stand here and sit and say, well, LSA is probably not the better team. Not even close. And I think Wilderness Christian not only is a top four team, they're probably a final four team when it comes down to the end of the year. And with that being said, they're going to beat Lutheran South by probably 2 to 3 scores, especially with the injury, probably closer to three.
I'd have to assume you're right there, mostly because you echoed my prediction. But also, as I've said many times, we have been wrong before. It will be interesting to see if we are wrong again. I doubt it in this spot. Let us move up north to North Richland Hills, where we see All Saints at Fort Worth Christian, where All Saints is a brace yourself 31.5 point favorite in this
Oof.
game. Let's take it back. This goes back to the TXPS retreat where Landon Gigliotta and Gavin Parkhurst were talking about this game to see who is the best team in Fort Worth. All Saints has dominated in district play, outscoring their opponents 143 to 41, with an offense consisting of Rice commit Gavin Parkhurst, Quamonte Williams, and Cole Powell Freeman. It is a scary sight for every team they have played thus far. Defensively, the big three of the front seven of Army commit Jacob Maynard, TCU commit Blake Robinette, and K-State commit Dalton Knapp lead an impressive defense that has terrorized their district opponents. On the flip side, Fort Worth Christian has had a great season featuring 6 wins, with their only fault being a bad one against Second Baptist and a close one that should have gone their way against Midland Christian. The offense of Fort Worth Christian averaged 41.8 points per game in their pre-district slate, but in district it has been quite a different story. The Landon Gigliotta-led offense has only averaged 21 points, with the highest being 27 points last week against SCS. With Cade Kropholler being out for the season, Gigliotta relies on Aiden Abercrombie, Grant Golly, and Bo Pearson to carry even more of that load. Fort Worth Christian is always known for their offense, but this year the story might be their defense, which is led by their defensive line with superstar Tucker Ashford on one side and D1 recruit Adam Burns on the other. This defense only allowed 13.6 points per game in pre-district, and if it wasn't for that 48 points that second put up on them, it would be under 7 points per game. In district, it's even better, only allowing 11.3. However, it would be foolish to take anyone except for All Saints in this spot. Listen, Fort Worth Christian's defense has been good, but when they play top-tier talent like Second Baptist, it's gotten exposed. And I think if there's a team that could expose it further, it's All Saints. And I do want to point out the asterisk that, we came to learn later that game was played in pretty adverse weather conditions against Second Baptist. But the problem is, Second Baptist offense had to play in that too. And if Second Baptist offense in a monsoon can put up that many points, I would assume All Saints can do similarly, Walker.
And I'll say this, that game, the rain stopped before the game even started. Like, you know what I mean? The field was a little bit wet, but it was not like it was a monsoon that entire game. So
And
it's
you would think that would affect the offense more than the defense.
right. So I just think they were off that game. Granted, football's football. Anyways, for my pick, I take All Saints. I'm gonna take All Saints big. I think that that little rivalry that Gigliotta and Gavin Parker's had at the retreat was fun, and I think it kind of carries into this one. It was, just banter there, but I truly think it's something there where it's gonna be a little bit of a like a fun one. And I think All Saints just blows them out of the water. Give me All Saints 31.5. I think they cover and more.
I mean, what do you want me to say? Like, All Saints is a top three team. I mean, we just mentioned this last night, or not last night, 2 days ago, maybe. I guess is when what is it in podcast years? 2 days ago.
Sure.
No, when we said on the episode on the recap, I told you All Saints is a top two, top three team in all of private school. It literally is Liberty, then potentially Kincaid and them, because they have wins over Parrish and Prestonwood. And with that being said, it's like, you know, Fourth Christian's good, but y'all are exactly right. Like a loss to Midland, you know, a two score game against Southwest Christian, like that stuff can't happen if you want to be a top dog. The fact they went 6-2 actually surprised me a lot more than I realized. I didn't realize they went 6-2, but the competition wasn't as fierce as I would have thought a non-district schedule for this type of talented team would have. And it showed that they were just beating teams by 40 plus when in reality they weren't a 40 plus beat type team, in my opinion. And with that being said, the only reason I said that is because against true competition like Second Baptist, like All Saints and stuff, they will be exposed. And I think you're exactly right, Walker. I think it's a 40 point game. I mean, this is teetering, in my opinion, not to be rude, this is teetering on Liberty Nolan Catholic type score, in my opinion, of like a 62-0 type ball game, in my opinion.
Ooh wee. That's bolder than me.
I know, but like I don't see the All Saints, or I don't see the what's called the Fourth Christian offense putting up many points, if any at all.
Well,
no, and with the playmakers that All Saints has on both sides of the ball, I don't like a Liberty All Saints comparison. I mean, a Liberty Nolan Catholic comparison is kind of crazy, but it might be less crazy than calling this a close game if you put it in perspective. I'm gonna stick if the line, like we're saying, is 31.5, that's pretty accurate. I'm gonna say Fourth Christian covers narrowly. Just to hedge our bets a little bit and maybe not get as much flack if the crazy
and cuts
happens,
the lead to 28. just kidding. That's
Chris Paul. It's a huge three. To cut the lead to 28. But yeah, no, we're gonna take All Saints in this spot and see if anything else materializes. Let us go down to the city they call weird, Houston St. Thomas at Austin St. Michael's. St. Thomas, another big number, is a 34.5 point favorite.
Crazy.
All right.
That's
the battle for the second spot in TAPS Division One District Two happens in Austin this Friday night as the Eagles of St. Thomas travel to face the Warriors of St. Michael's Prep. This matters a ton as the winner of this should get a bye in the first round of the playoffs and not have to face the probable foe of the winner of that TCA Addison Nolan Catholic contest. St. Thomas started rough, but they have looked great in district besides that Antonian game. Roy Thomas Jenkins has weapons all over the place in Javon Waldron, Nate Tidwell, Logan Branting, Derek Stevenson, and Oliver Labuya. On defense, Coach Davis has a great linebacking core of seniors Cooper Davis and John Carr III, as well as junior Liam McCarthy. While junior prospect Obina Ume will be coming off the edge, wreaking havoc, and seniors DeMarcus Baptiste, Elijah Henry will be there in the secondary. St. Michael's has shown the struggles of last year are no more, with their only loss of the season coming to the district favorites Antonian. Quarterback Nico Anderson has proven to be one of the top sophomore quarterbacks in TXPS, and with weapons around him, with star senior Utah Anderson, as well as senior wide receiver and linebacker Ben Brophy, senior defensive lineman Miller Boshank, and junior wide receiver slash safety Pierce Kovacs, they certainly look ready to go. However, I'm going to take the proven commodity in St. Thomas. 34.5 is a crazy, crazy spread. Take St. Michael's to cover that number all day and twice on Sundays. I just think St. Thomas, although struggling in the early season, outside of that Antonian game, have looked good in district. St. Michael's, again, Nico Anderson and Utah Anderson are studs, two of the best players in the district. I just think that St. Thomas, while they're young in spots and have struggled against really good teams, I don't think St. Michael's is that elite caliber of talent that has caused St. Thomas to struggle. I'm going to go chalk as I have done in the past and maybe has kind of hurt me on the podcast so far, but I'm going to take St. Thomas to win this game and set themselves up well in the playoffs. Walker.
You're going to do that to our own intern, Jake Garcia. You're not going to pick his squad. How dare you? That's crazy. And I'm going to do the same thing. Houston St. Thomas in this one. I want to pick into St. Mike's. I love Nico Anderson. I think he's going to be one of the top players in 27. I think he's legit. And I've raved about Utah Anderson as long as we've had this podcast. I really like this team. This is the other game that I might be going to, so FYI. But I like Miller Bonsack. They have pieces, man.
I just think after watching St. Thomas last week, I think they have some dudes, man. And I just think they have a more complete team. They're more proven. And I think in big time moments, I think they'll show out a little bit more. But definitely, it's definitely not 34 and a half. This is a 2-score game at the most, in my opinion. But I think the Eagles come out on top.
I'm in that same boat, right? I mean, 34 and a half is unlike the last game. It will definitely not be that. Okay, just think about this. This spread is higher than the last one, by the way, which Massey, I don't know what you're saying there, but that's definitely something crazy. Yeah, this game is close, man. St. Mike's is definitely one of the better teams that we've seen come out of that district. I mean, from a matchup against the North perspective, when it comes to playoff wise, like, you don't want to see St. Michael's as a North team, like, in my opinion. Like, I think, you know, Bishop Lynch seeing St. Michael's, you know, Legacy seeing St. No one wants to see them, right? You know, that's not an easy team. And with that being said, Houston St. Thomas is better. Coach McGuire and those boys have them working. And there's a reason why they're the second best team in this district, in my opinion. And it's proven, you know, Antonian has really shown out this year, but Coach McGuire has gotten things rolling again. And I think they're going to show even in the playoffs that they're one of the top four teams, not top four teams in total, but with how the bracket lays out, they'll be in the semifinals.
Correct. I think that's a good way of putting it and a good way to wrap that game up. Let us move to a game that has been one of my favorite scripts to write so far for this podcast. Oak Ridge at Addison Green Hill. Green Hill is a 10.5-point favorite. This game is so much more important than we ever could have imagined. This is for a title appearance. There is no chance any of you had those words on your bingo cards we kicked off 2024. As for this game specifically, quarterback Will Black is a stud. 30 total touchdowns on the year. He is the unquestioned heart of this team. Sophomore Trey Davis is also a stud at wideout and will pose an imminent threat to the Owls secondary. Junior John Hurley and senior Caden Castillo round out a solid front seven for the Hornets, quietly allowing under 18 points per game. As for Oak Ridge, it's the Cole Worthington show. 17 total touchdowns on the season. Every team has game plan to stop them, and few have. Let's zoom out a little bit. The dynamics of this game are incredibly interesting. Oak Ridge isn't playing for anything, except pride, if you count that. I don't. Green Hill is playing for everything. This team has averaged roughly 2 wins per season going back to 2004. They're a team that has been the textbook definition of awful, but they have a shot to win everything this season. Ooh. A wise man once said, the most abundant currency in football is hate, but the most valuable is hope. And for that hope, I'm taking the Green Hill Hornets to advance to their first SPC 3A title game. We mentioned on the previous episode all the dynamics that go into play that have to fall for Green Hill to make a title game. Green Hill, in layman's terms, Green Hill has to win and they're in. That's as simple as it gets. It'll force a 3-way tie for second with Houston Christian already being in at first, and they hold the point differential if they win regardless of outcome. I can't believe I'm saying those words out loud because Green Hill has been the butt of every joke, the dog in every fight, and somehow Coach KJ Williams and staff have come in and gotten this team in a position to win everything. It is the best story of the season so far, and far be it from me not to pick that story in this spot. Give me Green Hill. I will be live and on site at this game. My first time ever at Green Hill Christian. Walker, I'm incredibly excited for this game. I'm taking Green Hill. I am curious to know your thoughts.
You know, when we talked about Coach KJ going there, and we say it because we want to, you know, want to show pride or show support to the guys we love and guys we respect in Texas high school football. And we're saying, you know what, he can do good with Green Hill. Like, it can be something. Probably all three of us in the back of our mind, it's like, this isn't going to happen for a while. This is definitely not going to happen in year two where they have a chance. Holy cow, Luka Doncic. Sorry. Shout out to Luka.
I'm just so proud of this team for the buy-in. You see the school, right, doing this whole new weight room and athletic facility. They're putting in money. They're believing in Coach KJ. They're believing in this team to truly be something. They've always been good at basketball over the years, right? They've always had good sports, but it's never been football. And you see the buy-in from these guys, and you just got to believe. I don't know if you've ever seen a show called Ted Lasso, but there is a sign that he hangs up in his locker room called Believe, right? And that is, in the words of Danny Rojas, football is life, and you just got to believe, man. And I will believe in the Green Hill Hornets in this one, man. How could you not? How could you not? I will take this every single day of the week to believe in this team to get to where they are. Remember this. They should have beat Houston Christian. They should have beaten. They did beat Trinity Valley. Right now, they're looking like the hottest team in SBC 3A this year. And you got to ride the hot hand. Give me Green Hill.
Ryan Schroeder, two of us are on the side of history. I am curious to see if you take a similar stance.
Yeah, a wise man once sat on some stairs in 2018. In the winter of 2018, and I think about January or February, a wise man once sat on some stairs, and they were heated. Heated stairs. Yeah, that was at Green Hill School. Because Green Hill has been a school that has been, like y'all said, good at a variety of sports of the year, whether it be soccer, basketball, most notably sending multiple guys to Vanderbilt with Noah Shelby and Lee Dort and company. They have sent many players over the years to high level areas and across all their sports. They have a swimming pool on campus and indoor swim. This is one of the nicest schools in all of TXPS. And for some reason, they can't bring kids in for football is what I don't know how, but it has never happened, right? Switch up some coaching staffs and you still go 1-2 first three games of the season, right? You lose a heartbreaker to TCA Addison down the street. You get a win against Mercy Culture Prep, and then you lose another one to another Dallas SBC school in St. Mark's. Overall, the season feels downhill. But you got to focus up. You get a win against JP2, and the district slate moves on. This team has been absolutely incredible. Like y'all said, Houston Christian game could have gone either way. Should have gone one way over the other. And with that being said, you got to fight for Green Hill, man. This is an incredible story. I'm right there with y'all.
I don't know how you could pick against Green Hill in this spot. Not even using any rational logic, just for the storyline, and even in the game, like Walker said, they should have beat Houston Christian and securely been in by now. And I think that might, I honestly think at the end of the day, that early celebration could be the best thing to happen to Green Hill this season, to kind of light a fire under them and maybe propel them to a win in this spot. And then even more motivation, feeling slighted in a potential state championship game. I get chills thinking about it. It would be the story to end all stories if it happens, and we will see how that transpires. Let us move on to our last game to cover, south of Addison, yet another SPC game, one of the best venues in the sport. Kincaid versus St. John's. Kincaid is an 8.5-point favorite at Rice Stadium. Falcons, Mavericks, the battle for a title game appearance is again at Rice Stadium. After doing the math like Oppenheimer in the movie, St. John's needs to beat Kincaid by 3 or more to get in the state title game. Walker, Ryan, and I spent about 25 minutes before the episode going through all possible scenarios to realize we'd figured the answer out in the first 2 minutes of doing the math, that because of point differential, St. John's needs to win this game by 3 to be in. That is the math. So in terms of the game specifically, Bel Air Episcopal has already finished their matchups versus Kincaid and St. John's. If they win versus John Cooper, they're in. By the way, all that math is contingent on Episcopal beating John Cooper. If Episcopal loses to John Cooper, everything's screwed and EHS is out. However, if EHS wins, they secure a 4-1 district slate and a state title game berth, and then rush to their phones to see the results of this one to see who they will play. You know the players for Kincaid. David Capobianco, Wayne Shanks Jr., and Jordan Manuel for the Falcons make for a great offense with Topher Carlson, Jackson Stanley, and Cooper Chambers helping out defensively. For St. John's, yes, of course, you have Shea Quinn, Yaya Mir, Wyatt Childress, and others. But you all know who this game comes down to. It's Cole Allen, the most electrifying player in the SBC and possibly TXPS as a whole, was so close to making the title game last year as a junior, but Miles Rader and Cade knocked them out in a close one, 35-21. The Harvard commit has one last chance to etch his name into the St. John's lore and knock out the favorites and bring his Mavericks to a title game in his swan song. But it's not going to happen. Kincaid is going to win this game. I love St. John's. I love Cole Allen. I think at this point in the season, the entire defensive game plan is schemed to stop Cole Allen, because that is virtually the only way St. John's can win games. If anyone's going to stop that, it's Larned, Cooper Chambers, and this defense. I truly believe that. I don't know if this game is particularly close. It should be, and it might be close just because there might not be a whole lot of offensive production, but I think there's a solid chance St. John's is held under 21 points in this game. I'm a huge fan of Kincaid's defense. I think the offensive pieces are also there with Wayne Shanks, Jordan Manuel, Capobianco. I just, the entire coaching staff and tree in the SBC flows from Kincaid and Larned. And I don't think the grandmaster falls in this scenario. I'm going to take Kincaid to win this game and match up with that perennial game against EHS in the title. Give me the Falcons.
You know, I've been the biggest believer of St. John's, I think, on this pod all year. I've always thought this is the team. This is going to be the year. They almost proved me right against Bel Air. I thought they were going to do it there. I believe this, and for the sake of my pick record, I'm going to follow you, Wes. I'm going to go Kincaid. Kincaid looks good. And every time I pick St. John's, they somehow lose. So for their benefit, I'm gonna pick against them. I as a fan, I need this. I need Cole Allen to win. I need to see that man, that legendary man in SBC, get to the title game. But sadly, there's a rising buck in SBC named Wayne Shanks Jr. that is gonna take that crown away from him before he even gets to wear it. And I just think Kincaid's gonna do it, man. I disagree with you though, Wes. I think you said they'll score under 21. I disagree with you there. I think this is a battle. I think both defenses are pretty good, and I say this is a one score game. I just see it going the Falcons' way at Rice Stadium again, and I will say is last year, it was one of my first times I ever truly criticized the team was them. They didn't use Cole Allen enough in that game because they just didn't. I hope they do this time. This is his last ever game, maybe in a Maverick uniform. Let him do whatever he can to bring them home. That's what I'll say.
Ryan Schroeder.
So I said this for the EHS game, and it was an overtime game, and maybe I wasn't entirely right, but I told you one thing, right? If you go back to the episode that we released before that game, I said, like we've all said, you got to stop one guy. You got to stop one guy, and the game plan has to be to stop one guy. I think Wes or Walker or one of y'all said, don't you think other teams have tried to game plan against that? And I'm like, of course they have, but no one, if anyone's going to be able to do it, it's EHS. And EHS almost wasn't able to do it themselves, right? Like, Cole Allen is clearly taking over to a point where, you know, he can't play more than, what's the math on that? 48 minutes is high school football.
Yep.
He's played over 48 minutes, right? Like, he's gassed at that point, right? So, saying that he plays both sides of the ball, but overall, this is what I'm going to tell you right now. Kincaid, in my opinion, is that 1-2-3. They're in that 2-3 slot with All Saints. I said that earlier on the episode, and I'm not joking. When I listened to the Gunner broadcast, because I'm going to bring it up every time, when I listened to that, I told you, I'm like, oh my goodness, Kincaid is actually like that this year. They go out and beat Regents. They go out and keep winning across this entire platform. They stormed through the rest of the slate. To think I'm not going to pick them now would be a wrong decision because I'm definitely going to pick Kincaid. But let me say this. Cole Allen is Cole Allen. I was wrong, I guess, in some aspects of like, you got to be able, someone's going to be able to stop him eventually. They don't stop him. And I think Walker is exactly right on this. I'm against you on West too. Oh, I'm against you, West, on this as well. The EHS Kincaid game was 48-45, right? Or EHS St. John's game was 48-45. Like, the teams are going to have to score points. Like, that's just going to how it's going to be. The offenses are good enough. I think it's a shootout. I think it's a one-score game as well, but give me Kincaid as well.
Yeah, I'm going to stick strong to my take and think that Kincaid's defense holds here. I mean,
I agree, but then you saw in the last game against EHS, right? They only scored 16 points on offense. Like, they kind of play to the level, and I'm not saying – I think EHS is legit too. I think, like, these games are legit. I think all three teams are pretty dang close. I don't know which way you're going, man. I really don't.
I want to go back on. Sorry. You're exactly. I think what I, something I didn't realize. Sorry. Something I didn't realize. They held Second Baptist and Regents and EHS to 14-7 and 15.
Yeah. Unreal.
That's
defense.
That's super impressive defense, actually. I don't know. I don't know what I believe.
Every coach I talk to says that this Kincaid defense is one of the best in TAPS and TXPS. Yeah, like,
that's fair.
And TXPS, fair. Not TAPS. But like, they better show it out because you are facing the guy who kills defenses when he goes against them. You know what I mean?
That's fair.
Yeah, absolutely. That's kind of the big storyline to watch here. Also, just in layman's terms as an overview for this game, as simple as we can make it, St. John's has to win this game by 3. That's as simple as we can make it. And that's really all you need to know. If you're a sicko like the rest of us, you can listen to all of the theories and breakdowns. But for things to stand, EHS has to beat Cooper. St. John's has to beat Kincaid by 3. And then that would be St. John's versus EHS in the title game. If St. John's loses or wins by less than 3 points and EHS beats John Cooper, then it's Kincaid EHS, which appears to be the most likely scenario. I make my head hurt trying to figure all that out. And that's Aggie math for you, because that's not even that difficult. But, you know, Walker and I can wax poetic on Aggie economics, math, etc. All that being said, that concludes all of our content for this episode. We are getting into crunch time, folks. It is my favorite time of the year. Teams are starting to battle for their very survival. And it makes for great content, if nothing else. Good luck to everyone competing. I remember these days vividly. And although no one on this program ever got to win or compete for a state championship, it's still a fun time to watch all of you do that. That being said, barring any further comment from the Peanut Gallery, thank you for 10,000 followers. We love what we do. We appreciate everyone that supports us. I can't think of a better way to sign off this episode, so I'll do it here. As for myself, as for Walker Lott, as for Ryan Schroeder, we have been the Texas Private School Podcast, now boasting 10,000 followers on Twitter. We will see you in the Week 10 recap episode on Monday. See you later.